thought I'd do something a little different this week and start without intro music. Hey, it's Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 226. I'm recording this on May 20th, 2007. Got two interviews for you, as usual. Sometimes I have two, sometimes I have three, sometimes I have none. Got two for you this week. I have some folks from the Shrek the Third video game. Of course, the movie's out this weekend in most areas of the world, or it's coming soon to your area. And then I also have Chris, who works on the dashboard team. His team is the team responsible for the dashboard, as well as the HD DVD update that was that went live this week as well. But what a hell of a week, huh? Wow. When I was getting ready to do the show today, I was sitting down, I was starting to write my notes. Wow, what a week, huh? Let's go through it. Kicked off by having a the Halo 3 party down in Los Angeles. And I've got some photos up on the blog of that fun event. Was at a some studios in West Hollywood, Quixote Studios, I believe is what it was called, and so one of the sound stages was completely decked out in Halo style, as you can imagine. I mean, there was some really cool stuff all over the place. The photos are up on my Flickr site. Of course, we did some great videos up on Xbox.com. You can go check those out. Quite a few stars, and I apparently Paris Hilton was there, but I missed her, which is just as well. But there were some other cool folks as well. I met John Heater from Napoleon Dynamite. I think you saw the video I did with him. Let's see who else I met. Just a ton of people. Actually, you know who I found out is a huge Xbox Live and Xbox 360 fan is one of the executive producers of Heroes, who I was pleased to meet, Jesse. Great to meet you. Great show. We got to get that on Xbox Live Marketplace. It was great. He and I were talking about getting it on Xbox Live Marketplace. So Heroes, I'm not going to give out his gamer tag because I just don't want to have him bombarded. But apparently he's a big fan of the Xbox 360, Halo, and Crackdown, and all the rest of it. So it was great to see him. And I met, so like I said, I talked to John Heater, and I met some folks from his entourage who are also fans of the Xbox 360. Lots of Xbox love down in Hollywood. In fact, there was an article, I think I linked to it last week. Yeah, it was in Variety magazine, which is a big daily down there and down in Hollywood, and all the stars and producers and whatnot read it. But it was really about talking about how a lot of the young executives and even older executives are using Xbox Live to kind of network in the evenings instead of going out to bars and whatnot. They cook up over Xbox Live and play games. So you never know. Maybe in the next your next match of Halo 3 beta that there'll be somebody from people in Hollywood talking about the next blockbuster. All right, so that's the Halo 3 party. You can go check out the photos and the videos up on Xbox.com. And then Wednesday morning, the Halo 3 beta went off as planned. And, it really was smooth as silk, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. So early Wednesday morning, it was supposed to go live, and then it didn't. So we had all the teams snapped into action, and they fixed that as quickly as they could, which is... If you saw the emails that were flying around internally, it was pretty extraordinary just in terms of the speed that everyone was working. I mean, there were people working on this, teams of people working on this. But anyway, we got it. We were able to fix that up, and everyone was able to get their Halo 3 multiplayer on Wednesday, late Wednesday here on the Northwest. And then because of that, the Bungie folks decided to extend the duration of the Halo 3 beta from June 6th to June 10th. At 11:59 p.m. Pacific time, so that was great. That was good for those guys, and you know they had their game ready, and there were some pieces that weren't quite connecting. So we are able to fix that. Now, if you are participating in the beta, I highly recommend you go over to Bungie.net if you haven't already. There's a fantastic beta guide that really walks you through some of the new elements and the new nuances of the Halo 3 multiplayer beta. It talks about some of the new weapons. Some of the new items, like the grav lift that you can use, and the bubble shield, and so forth. So you can go through that. Talks about the maps, some of the game types. It's really a nice read. You go over there, and they've got a nice web page, and kind of go through and talks about the different controller, you know, the controller layout. Just everything that you'd ever possibly want to know about the Halo 3 multiplayer beta is over there at Bungie.net in the Welcome to the Beta guide. So go ahead and take a look at that. Other Halo news. It was also announced Tuesday night, right around, I think it was right around the part when the party was starting, that the Halo is launching on 9/25. That is September 25th. I believe it's also the day after September 26th in Europe. So that's always fun news. So you'll be able to, we'll start the countdown already. In fact, I think I put a count, yeah, I did put a countdown clock. This week was just such a blur, I must tell you. It was such a blur with all the, traveling, with all the craziness that was going on. But it will be available on September 25th, 2007, just 2 days after the autumnal equinox, for those of you keeping score. And like I said, it's going to release in Europe on October 26th. So they're also going to have the rest of the world is going to release variably based on rules, conditions, and God only knows what else. So so start the countdown for that. Halo 3, let's see if I have any other Halo 3 news. No, I guess I've actually gone on and played quite a few games with members of the community. And it's always interesting to me because I get the, are you the real Major Nelson? Well, who else is going to be playing under this gamer tag? It's kind of strange. So if you see me, I'm playing some Halo 3. I've been playing with some community members. Played with Knuckles Dawson, Green Skull. Who else have I played with? A couple of people I feel bad because I was doing some demos at work. And I left the party open in my Halo 3 beta. And people started coming in and, hey, Major. And I couldn't talk because I was in the middle of the demo. So I apologize to you. We'll get some games on. I promise. The other thing that was announced. Did my voice just crack there? I think it did. The other thing that was announced was the Halo 3 Zune. We talked about that last week. They showed it off at the press events, and it was also announced. So if you're waiting for Zune, then there'll be a Halo 3 version of that as well. Bring on the Zune haters. I'm sure there's a couple of you guys out there. And then in the middle of all this craziness with the Halo 3 party, with the problems with the Halo 3 beta, my blog decided to go down. It was completely coincidental. There was a hard drive failure, apparently, in the way I understand it, and apologies if I get this wrong, but it was the RAID array wrote a bad sector across the different disks, so it just caused a catastrophic failure. So we were down for... Oh, how long were we down? It had to be probably close to 24. Was it? Yeah, it was at least 24 hours. No, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. We had the the blog went down, and I quickly was able to pick up my toys and go over to the spaces.live.msn.whatever-the-hell-it-is. Was able to go over there and have a temporary blog, and was able to blog about a few things. So that was thank God I had that. But we, the guys at Centricom.net got me going as quickly as they could, and they were real good, and they spent a lot of time. And when I say a lot of time, I mean a lot of time working on that and doing disk scans and so forth. So they brought us back. We're back. We're better than ever, and we're seeing some huge traffic. It was merely coincidental. People think that the problems with my blog and the Halo 3 beta were connected. Not even remotely. It's a great conspiracy, but unfortunately, it is not true. My blog is paid for and hosted by me out in the Midwest, not related to Microsoft in any way, shape, or form. So they had enough to do. So, and then on Thursday, I made a post about security, and I just want to read that post for you right now. As you can imagine, we have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to modded consoles connecting to Live. We're very serious about this. If we detect you have a modded Xbox, then you will not be able to connect to Live, period. If you see a screen that tells you that you have a modded Xbox, and I can put a link to that up on the blog, and you get status code Z:8015-190D, that means your console has been banned. We'll continue to enforce this rule to ensure the integrity of the service and protect our partners and users. To the members of the community who play by the rules, thank you. And we'll see you on Live. You can read that post up on the blog. It's got over 900, close to 1,000 comments already. If you have any questions about that, go up and take a look at that post. Can't really say any more than that. I've said all I can say about that. All right. So we've got a couple of interviews for you today. And the first one I'm going to kick off is with the team from Shrek the Third. All right, my guests today on the line are Brian and Terry from Seven Studios. They are the guys behind Shrek the Third. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having us.
Hey, no problem. So I want to talk about the game. Of course, the movie's out this week. The game's been out for a little bit more than that. Tell us what Xbox 360 owners can expect with the Xbox 360 version of Shrek the Third.
Well, DreamWorks and Activision gave us a good opportunity to bring Shrek to the next generation consoles for the first time, so we're real grateful for that. And it was a lot of fun. For 360 owners, they can definitely expect, you know, to see Shrek, closest thing that he's been to the big screen on consoles yet to date. So,
yeah, that was one of the great things. We, you know, we got closer to the movie, you know, all the reference we were able to get from DreamWorks. You know, we were just getting closer to the shots, and hopefully, you know, it represents the movie stills. Or when you go see the movie, you're like, oh, wow, I can actually see a close representation of that in the game, which is, was exciting for us. You know, we're able to push, because of the system, we were able to push it closer and closer to the actual movie assets.
Now, Terry, you worked on the art side of it, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Larry.
So what was it like translating, you know, obviously the previous two Shrek movies were huge and they had a very specific art style, and so does the third one, but you're working and developing a game literally as the movie's being produced. So what was that like in trying to borrow from that visual style and how to represent it on a console?
Well, I mean, the good thing is it is the third movie, so, you know, the style is there. So, you know, there's a lot of reference to draw from. Even if you look back at the first or second movies, you know, like, they have just ways they make their trees or ways they make their bridges or their castles. So we can definitely pull from reference and their lighting setups and their color palettes. So we can definitely pull from the older first and second movies, you know, from reference in that respect. So there's a lot of information we can grab just by looking through the old DVDs, and you pause it and you go, wow, look at the first time you saw a dragon and the lighting in the castle, and you can bring some of that into the new game just for reference.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, just looking at the new characters that are added for this movie, you know, you could see how their style evolved a little bit, and it was just exciting to bring it to the game, you know, just to create these characters and put them in there and see them move around and play with them, and yeah, it was great. It was an experience.
And DreamWorks was really helpful and provided us with reference material from the new movie, so we actually got to see some of the environments and could build right from that.
Brian, I want to talk to you about some of the gameplay. So is this a standard platform or puzzle game? How do you describe what this game is?
It's basically what you just said. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, the core gameplay is definitely the combat. So it's a, you know, very simple, fun beat-em-up combat type where you can do special moves. You can uppercut guys into the air and run over to where they're going to land and catch them and then throw them at other enemies or throw them into boxes. Plenty of jumping puzzles, switch puzzles, lots and lots of things to collect, you know, coins to grab to buy things in gift shops for unlockable characters and unlockable levels. So, you know, it's primarily combat, but there's plenty of things that break up the action, so it's got some really good pace to it.
And, you know, it's definitely funny at times as well, so it definitely has this comical. There we go. I draw the pictures. I mean, it's very entertaining just to watch and sit back, you know, watching somebody else play it and hear the interactions.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the guys that wrote the dialogue did a really good job of kind of nailing that humor from the movie. I mean, the kids will enjoy the story, but there's also some humor in there that's a little bit more subtle.
So you mentioned about some of the characters. We've got, of course, Shrek, the donkey, Puss in Boots makes an appearance, Fiona, and tell me some of the other characters that we're going to play with.
Sleeping Beauty is another one. And all the characters have special moves, and hers is she can woo the enemies, and the enemies end up fighting over her. So.
Like any good Sleeping Beauty.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, that's, and her idol animation is pretty funny. She just kind of falls asleep.
So, as well she should. So there's also, you know, in the game, because it's, as you said, it's a platformer and puzzles, you also get to hit some of the locations that actually are from the movie. So it's not only borrowing the art style, but correct me if I'm wrong, I played a little bit of it. It looked like it borrowed from some of the sets in the movie as well.
Oh, very much so. I mean, you get to go to the Academy grounds, or, well, here's going to be a tough word for me, but Worcestershire, where you meet, you know, well, giving away a little bit of the movie is Artie, where you meet him for the first time. So we were able to, you know, recreate that, which is exciting because after you see the movie, if you play the game afterwards, like, wow, I get to go to that location. Same thing with the docks area where they first, you know, sail away on the ship, where Shrek sails away, that is. And, you know, a lot of the mock stage areas as well where, you know, oh, wow, here we saw this in the movie. Now we can actually play and experience it in the game.
Tell me a little bit about the multiplayer and how people, like, for instance, maybe, you know, parents and kids can play together on the game.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of mini-games in the game that are multiplayer. One of the funnest ones I liked is Castle Capture, which is more or less you're taking turns knocking down the opponent's castle with a catapult or a ballista. And every once in a while, there'll be little hot air balloons that will pop up in the gameplay area that you can pop with the catapult or the ballista, and it will give you special ammo, or you know, it will block the opponent's view of the screen for a certain amount of time. I think one of the best ones is you can get a cow, which has a lot of mass to it, and when you throw that over at the opponent's castle, it can do some havoc.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's entertaining to see a cow.
Yeah.
In a very cows were hurt during the making of the game.
It's always good to see animated cows hurling through space,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah.
The one of the other things I want to talk to you about as well is, you know, with every Xbox 360 game comes the inevitable achievements. So walk us through some of the achievements that people can expect with Shrek the Third.
Okay, for Shrek the Third, there's about 22 achievements that the gamers can get. They range from anything from, you know, collecting all the things that are hidden in the levels, completing the game on all the different difficulty modes. But then there's some other things like completing certain finishing moves X number of times on enemies, or, you know, like I mentioned, you can uppercut enemies up into the air. If you do that 50 times, you can get an achievement for that. So there's plenty of variety there.
I also want to talk to you about you guys specifically. You've obviously done games in the past with your studio. How is it developing a game for an existing, well-established, and arguably very successful IP versus building it up from zero? Does it present different difficulties?
Sort of in reference to what I was saying earlier, is there is a lot to draw from. So you have a lot of great reference, you know, for building the worlds, building the characters. But at the same time, you just said this, is the... you know, it is a high expectation. You want to make, you know, the characters have to look exactly like the ones in the movie. The bar is so high that you want to make sure that you hit that across the level because it is such a successful title. So the pressure's up there for sure. You know, you want to do the best job you can. We were lucky with the 360. We were able to take, you know, advantage of the new technologies to, you know, make the environments look that much better and the characters. So all in all, it was a very positive experience.
What I want to ask you guys, you know, other than this game, which is again out now, what are some of the games that you guys are playing? What do you look for when you're playing fun games?
Well, fun is the biggest point in playing a fun game, I'd say.
Well, actually, no. I mean, the one thing is, and Brian said it earlier, is what's nice about this game is, yeah, you mean at its core, it's a platformer, and there's a lot of action, a lot of punching and combat. Mm-hmm. But it breaks it up a lot with the little mini games that even in the levels themselves or the true mini games like the Castle Capture, it just breaks up the action. So you always, you know, you feel like you're doing a little bit something different, but you're still in the world, which is great. The story keeps moving along. But it's just not, I mean, granted, you will get to a situation where you're punching and there's combat, that is the core, but it does break it up. The variety is there. And that, I mean, I like that in games just because, you know, oh, what's next? Oh, wow, it's a little something different. Even if it's just a vignette or a little, you know, movie, just that if it's well done, it just keeps you entertained, you know. It's like going to see a movie, and if the story doesn't go anywhere, you start to fall asleep, you want to walk out. So the same thing for a game is, like, long as it keeps giving you something new, it's like, oh, wow, okay, let me see what comes up next. And
No, no, is that the way you move the story forward? Because in, you know, when you're sitting in a movie, it's a very one-way experience. You sit in a very dark theater and you watch the story unfold on the screen in a very scripted style. You don't have that control with a gamer. The gamer really can go wherever he or she wants to. How do you guide them in such a way?
Well, I think it is, you know, presenting those new experiences to them or challenges via puzzle, via, you know, hey, just even as simple as, hey, I'm fighting these guys in a room, and now how do I get up to the next level? Oh, I got to figure out where that crate is, to use a stereotypical gaming, you know,
sure,
term. But
the old crate.
Yeah, the old crate, you know, but maybe there's somebody guarding the crate, so you got to get, you know, him out of the way, or, you know, make him woo him if you're Sleeping Beauty, and, you know, get to the next level. It's just changing the experience for you.
Right. I mean, as long as there's plenty of variety, it's the kind of key to guiding the player along is just introducing them to a new element of gameplay. you know, slowly, and then they get to familiar with it, and then the next time it comes up, they know exactly what to do, and then rinse and repeat.
Or hopefully change it a little bit.
Well, so they introduce new elements, and then all of a sudden, you know, partway through levels, you got like 5-10 things going on instead of just like one basic gameplay mechanic.
Were you guys able to, as you were, you know, we've talked about the characters are already established, a lot of the storylines are already established, but a lot about Shrek, the Shrek movies, is all about the sight gags. Were you guys able to maybe use some of your own sight gags in the game and borrow some from the films?
Most of the gags from our end was actually what Brian had mentioned a little bit earlier were the special moves, where those you were at least able to bring a little bit of the character's personality out in the special moves during the combat. While you're playing the game with all the major characters, you know, once you're punching or doing your combos, you'll get a little indication over their heads that, you know, hey, you can press, I forget which button off the top of my head,
sure.
But, you know, you do the special move to them. And then that brings out a bit of the comedy element out of it. Like, Puss, one of his special moves is the big moment where he, like, does the big cat eyes, you know, that icon comes up above Puss in Boots, and you get the big, you know, oh, look at the nice little cat moment in there, which is, you know, a representative of the movie. So that's where we got to bring a little bit more of that out in the special moves during the combat.
Can you give us a couple of tips? I mean, there's a lot of different levels in here, but I want to ask some people that are playing it right now and they're playing through the levels, give us a couple of tips on what we should look for and maybe an Easter egg.
Smash everything in sight. You never know what you're going to find. That's the biggest thing. One other thing would be have fun with the combat. I mean, try to mix it up. You know, like I was saying, uppercut guys up in the air and catch them and throw them at other people. It's a lot of fun. As far as Easter eggs.
Well, you said it. Smash
out without giving away any of the unlockables.
Sure.
So there is collectible. I mean, you said it's smashing the different objects. I mean, there is a variety of different collectibles or things you have to collect through the levels for goals. And, yeah, I would say that, honestly, that's one of the bigger tips is if you think you can break it, try to break it.
Yeah, look in every corner, break everything in sight, mix up the combat, do finishing moves. We also have a style point system, so the more variety you're throwing into combat, the more coins you're going to get to buy more unlockables. So, I mean, one of the unlockables that's fun is you can unlock a version of Shrek that's in swimming trunks, which is a lot more fun to play around with. So,
hopefully it's a pair of boxers and not a Speedo.
Yeah.
I want to talk before I let you go. I want to talk a little bit about the bosses because we've talked about, you know, quote unquote, the good guys that you play as. Tell me about some of the bosses that we're going to go up against as we travel through the story in the game.
Well, you definitely have a little encounter with Captain Hook. That is one of the earlier boss battles.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very representative of the movie. I'm not going to give it away what it actually is, but once you see the movie, you go, oh, okay, now I see where that came from, which is nice.
And then, obviously, the big villain, Prince Charming.
Yep.
You're going to be running into him a few times.
Okay.
But then there are some things that are specific to the game, some big boss encounters, such as an ice dragon that Artie has to go through when he's trying to do one of his quests.
So lots of bosses, lots of levels, lots of fun. I'm gonna let you guys.
Yep.
I'm gonna let you guys go now. But before I let you go, I like to ask this of all my guests: do you guys want to give out your gamer tags?
Go ahead.
I'm Lytic.
Okay, so Brian, you're Lytic. Can you spell that for me?
Lyt1c.
Lyt1c. Got it. Okay. How about you, Terry?
I don't have one.
All right. Well, there you go. You're honest. We're gonna have to get you one.
That sounds perfect.
I'm kind of ashamed of my achievements right now, however.
Well, Larry, just make one up for me and send it to me. I'll use it. That's
all right. Well, I think what happens is, as Brian, as you can probably well attest, all my guests pretty much say the same thing because, as you find out, once you start working in the gaming industry, you don't have any time to play any games now. You're too busy.
Yeah, I was
a little bit of that. Yeah,
that's a lot of that.
So, anyway,
but
all right.
Practice one up. We'll get back to raking up some achievement points.
There you go. Well, listen, guys, I appreciate you spending some time with me today. You guys are from Seven Studios. Brian and Terry worked on Shrek the Third, which is in stores now and also in theaters. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. So if you have kids and you want to play a fun little maybe kids game, well, I think Shrek the Third may fit the bill. It's got some puzzles in there, and obviously it's based on the movie. And that's why I do the interviews like this, is because I know I have a lot of parents listening to my show, and they're looking for games for their kids.
There you go. Shrek the Third in stores now. Check it out. It's also available on a bunch of other platforms as well. Okay. So my second interview is with Chris. Chris is the man. You probably heard a few weeks ago where I was interviewing Jerry, Defender 90, who works on the dashboard team. Well, this is his boss. This is the big guy. This is the man in charge of all of the software side of the actual console, you know, the dashboard experience and so forth. So Chris is going to talk a little bit about the HD DVD as well as some of the other new features in the update that just went out a couple of weeks ago. I'm here with Chris Perich. Chris is the man in charge of the dashboard. Is that one way to put it?
That's certainly a fair way of putting it, yeah.
Your team works on the dashboard for the Xbox 360. I have you here because we're going to talk about the HD DVD player. That had an update go out last week, so I want to talk about that. Tell us about that.
Well, we're really excited about the fact that we've got this latest update out. We've heard a lot of feedback, enthusiastic members of the community who've been enjoying their HD DVD accessory since it shipped last November. And we've committed to keep that software up to date, and this is actually our second update. So we think that people will be pleased with a number of the changes. There's definitely improved title compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
We've made the networking support turn on that you need for some of the new HD DVD titles that are coming out.
So that's in the HD DVD spec. So obviously when you drop, the players have to have network connectivity to the internet.
Correct, and that's not really a big issue for Xbox, since
right.
We've always had network connectivity, but now that we're getting close to the point where these titles are coming out, we had to make sure that they were going to work well on our player.
Right.
And I think we're really going to be excited to see what people's reaction is when they start trying these out.
Let's talk about some of the new features. Can you walk me through some of those? You probably know them right off the top of your head.
Yeah, one of the big things that we focused on was some audio output changes. So
mm-hmm.
You'll notice that you now have the ability to turn on DTS encoding, and you have WMA Pro as another option for audio output, which works well with Pioneer receivers out there today. There's a change in the way that the Dolby Digital audio works, so that you can turn off this dynamic range compression,
mm-hmm.
and that'll actually result in, I think, improved fidelity for a number of people out there who've been complaining a little bit that they'd like to have that feature turned on.
Yep. Well, we have a lot. I mean, we have a lot of people that listen to the show that hang out at the AVS forums.
Yep. And we as many people know, monitor those forums closely, participate,
right.
you know, throughout the company, and we do try our best to you know, keep up with all the requests and the feedback on what isn't working so well. Another big theme is just title compatibility. There's
right.
a lot of titles out on HD DVD now,
right.
Not just in North America, but around the world. So we're trying our very best to make sure that every one of those titles plays really well in our player.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was the AVC H.264 codec.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to optimize that performance even more significantly than we had in the past, so we can do picture-in-picture scenarios with that codec, and some of the titles in Japan are using that more heavily. So I think that, you know, people will notice improvements there as well.
That's cool. Tell me about this reference level option.
So the reference level option is actually something that we changed in the dashboard in the spring release, but
okay.
I think it really speaks to allowing each customer to tune their video quality appropriately for their television. And what we found is that there are specs in some cases around the right way to send black and white to your television,
mm-hmm.
but not every manufacturer adheres to those in the exact same way. And it's also different between VGA and component video and HDMI, which is now available with the Elite SKU. So we put in these options in the spring update to allow you to adjust the definition of your reference levels or black levels to three different levels. And there's no one right answer for what those should be. But for those people who are a little more technically savvy, they can go in there and experiment with that and see what works well with your television. And I think the results are really great. I think a lot of people had complained about washed out video on VGA displays.
Right, right.
And I think what you'll find is if you go in there and set levels to expanded, if you had that problem generally goes away and looks like night and day, a huge improvement.
So it's basically a setting you can go in there, and as you said, you just kind of go around and play with it and for your for
Yeah,
your
so we just tried to simplify it down to three basic levels, and there's more detailed information that's been written up on the web if people are really curious about the technical details. But
yeah.
The general idea is just, you know, we didn't change the defaults, but you can go in there now and start optimizing it better for your system.
One of the you also improved some of the player controls, not only in the HD DVD. Well, let's finish up on the HD DVD section, because I got some dashboard questions for it, because you are the guy. As far as HD the updates concerned, what are the ways that people can get it? We know they can get it over Live, but there's a lot of people that listen to the show that may or may not have Xbox Live.
Yeah, so the primary and initial way that people get the update is by placing an HDDVD disc in their drive. And once that disc goes in, if you're connected to Live, you'll receive an update prompt. And if you take that update, you'll have the latest and greatest version. The other thing that we do is make a disc available, an image that you can burn onto a CD or DVD. And that disc image will be available on Xbox.com by the end of the month of May.
By the end of May, okay.
Yep. And so that'll contain both the latest system update, which is the spring
the dashboard
2000 update.
Yep.
And then also the Sapphire, what we call HDDVD update.
So it'll all be there. So those are the two main ways. And I also want to back up. You said something really important. If you've got your HDDVD drive connected and you're on Live, you still have to drop a title in there because
it, exactly. Yeah. And it's a little bit like the people who've tried the backward compatibility updates in the past.
Right.
It doesn't happen automatically like the system updates.
Right.
It happens just in time when you put in the type of media that requires that functionality.
We go and check and go, hey, we got an update for you. And
yep, so don't assume that just because you got the Spring 2007 update that you automatically receive the HDDVD update.
These two things are separate.
Correct.
What you work on the dashboard. Your team works on the dashboard team. You also made some significant changes to the dashboard in this release.
Yeah, I think there's been quite a bit of press about some of those changes. I think the most notable one being the integration of the Windows Live Messenger functionality.
Yep.
We've already been monitoring a large number of people who've signed up and started using that. And I think there's a lot of excitement around how you can use that feature,
mm-hmm.
Both to communicate with people who are on PCs or mobile phones, but also even to communicate with other people on Xbox consoles. It's a new way to do text messaging.
Yep.
There's some pretty cool features when you get the new chat pad device that's coming out later in the summer.
Yep.
And some of those you can even experiment with today using a USB keyboard if you know some of the right key combinations.
Yeah, I actually posted those. I took them off the blog and throw them up there.
So that really gives you a preview of what the experience is going to be like in the future, and we're really excited about launching that accessory. Lots of other things. I think people notice the marketplace now rising up to its...
It has its own blade.
Exactly. I think that's been really important because we're putting more and more content up in marketplace all the time. And we did some things around video. A lot of people were really appreciative of the fact, especially a lot of the same fans who like HDDVD, like the fact that we can now play the MPEG-4 H.264 video and the MPEG-4 Part 2 video, whether that be on optical media, on flash devices through USB ports, or over your home network from your PC.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives you more flexibility for the types of video that you can play on the console. And we've tried to improve Video Marketplace a little more. We have some flexibility in terms of the way you can fast forward and rewind while content's coming down.
Yep.
Another feature that doesn't receive a lot of press is just the fact that the downloads are faster now.
Yeah.
And that affects all the content in Marketplace. We've found some ways to tweak the performance even further. And I think, you know, when we're not in a mode where we're seeing tons and tons of people online trying to download the same piece of content, most of the time you'll notice a significant bump up in performance from what it used to be like. And that'll really improve the experience for people trying to grab demos,
mm-hmm.
trailers, or any large video file from Video Marketplace.
You also, you mentioned this very briefly, but you also made the video player. It's got an progress bar, and there's a lot of other cool stuff there too.
Yeah, so you know, one of the things we did is gave people a sense of how far into the video they are. So it makes it a little bit easier if you're trying to get a sense of how much of the video is downloaded already, so you can see a kind of a shadow over the time bar that says, here's how much video I have downloaded, here's how far I am into the video. We did something as well for videos that don't have chapters, that we let you jump forward and backward through the video using the chapter buttons,
mm-hmm.
such that it behaves a little bit more like watching a DVD.
Right.
So and I think we divide it into 10 different increments, and so if you're watching a one-hour video, you can jump forward and back 6 minutes at a time, and it feels a lot more natural.
So you basically put in these auto markers for all intents and purposes. And just
yeah, boom, boom. Another feature like that is a bookmark, basically to remember where you left off in watching a video.
Uh-huh.
So we had that feature enabled for videos that you're watching off your hard drive,
right.
But it didn't work for videos that were streaming from your PC, and now that works consistently across the board. And it's just kind of all those little things, you add them up together, it leads to a more pleasant experience.
And then there's also, I can't let you go without talking about the two of my favorite features, and one of which is the background. What do we call it? The low power mode.
Yeah. So I think that's one that I think we really are excited about. The only thing that's been a little tricky there is not everybody knows how to turn it on.
So tell people how to turn it on.
So you have to go over to the system blade, which is probably the blade that people use the least often.
Way over to the right, the purple one.
Yep, exactly. And once you're in the purple area, you go down to shutdown, which is in the console settings area,
yep.
And you change that from the normal behavior to background downloads enabled.
Yep.
And so once you flip that switch, all the downloads that are in your queue from that point on will continue to download even after you hit the power button when you turn the console off. And the console goes into a lower power mode, continues to communicate with the network to finish your marketplace downloads. And then once those are complete, it completely turns itself off.
It shuts itself off.
So that's really been a popular request for people who are doing large downloads, and they do them towards the end of the night, and they don't necessarily know if they want to leave their console on for 12, 16
hours. Yeah, they want to go to bed. Right.
So this way you don't have to worry about that. It kind of gives you a peace of mind that it'll stay on as long as it needs to, and then the content will be there in the morning, but the console will be off.
Everybody emails me and says, why don't we put that on by default?
That's a great question. I think we're going to listen to that feedback and look at, are there ways we should change that or make that more obvious to people going forward?
Yeah.
But I think it's a great step in the right direction, and we'll see if that makes sense for the default setting in the future.
The other one that people really like, which is just a simple one, I know I've been screaming about it for a long time, is just showing the name of the disc in the tray.
Yeah, that one combined with the achievement notification,
yes,
I think are receiving a lot of positive feedback in the community. And again, those are kind of examples of the little changes you can make that I think people really appreciate. And when you hover on the tray, and which indicates the name of the game that's there, right, there's also this little thing that we hadn't really talked about in advance of the release.
Yeah.
It shows some of the achievements and your gamer score.
Yeah, it's kind of a thumbnail of that title.
Yeah, and I think, since people tend to play that same title quite a few times in a row while they're working on it, it's kind of a great sense of how much progress you've made so far before you move on to the next title.
So jumping back to the HD DVD player, that's pretty straightforward. You're trying to keep parity with a lot of existing players out there. But the Xbox 360 dashboard has always been leading, in terms of features and functionality. How do you plan for what new features you want to have come down the line? A lot of people ask me that and send me questions, and of course I send them down to you, and I know you read the forums and your team does.
No, it's a great question, and I think there's been an article recently in the Xbox Magazine about that same topic, which
right.
is really just, there's so many different ideas that people have. A lot of those come from the community, a lot of them come from within the team, and we do have a little bit of a challenge in trying to juggle all those things and decide what are the most important things to invest in next.
Right.
In general, I think you'll see a lot of innovation around live. I think we think that's one of the really unique parts of our experience that our competitors don't have.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we stay out in front there. I think the instant messaging and the marketplace innovations are examples of that. But we try to balance that with, the right number of small changes that really make a difference in the community. And then we just keep the rhythm going every 6 months trying to get releases out so that the console just keeps getting better and better. But there's no, right formula for how you make those challenging decisions and make those trade-offs. We just want to focus on things that people will appreciate and make the console experience better.
Well, I know that, so I'll give you some feedback. I know you're going to know this, is, people want to have the messenger if you're under 18.
Yep. And, that one is well understood at this point.
All those issues are understood. The other one that people really want to do is they want to fast forward their music.
Yeah, we've heard that one a few times too. And so clearly we know we can do it since we do it with video.
Yeah.
So it's just a question of figuring out how to integrate that in. And I think, some of it may have been that when it was just a music player, it wasn't necessarily the highest priority thing, but people are using it for more than just music. So
right.
podcasts, for example,
yeah.
Being able to fast forward and you're dealing with much longer tracks becomes pretty important.
Yeah.
So we got that on the list. I was just in a meeting an hour ago where somebody mentioned it, and I don't know if it's at the top of the list, but
it's on the list.
But duly noted. We definitely hear the feedback.
There's a lot going on. How do you get the team to rally around all these elements? But the thing that impresses me is you cram it all into, what is it, like 6 or 7 megs? The dashboard
updates.
If
someone were to measure how long it took to download these updates, they'd probably notice it's not very much
yeah.
time, and that's because the files are quite small, and we have to really focus a lot on our engineering practices to get the software that we're building down to a very small size so that it
right.
can be transmitted quickly and easily over the
right.
internet, and so that it fits on the console, not just for the people who have consoles with hard drives, but also the core SKU out there that
right.
only requires a memory unit to connect
right.
to live. So we don't have the luxury of just generating humongous applications and large
right.
System software updates. But I think that does continue to highlight the advantages if you focus on the things that people appreciate the most
mm-hmm.
and get those right. The experience is great, and it's a lot simpler to receive the updates. Some of the updates that you get today on the internet or even from other competing products are actually quite large, and
mm-hmm.
that process can be painful if you have to take a lot of updates.
Yeah.
So ours are very quick.
Yeah, so it's quick with the dashboard update. It's quick with the game update. And then we just described the HD DVD update. They're all essentially the same type of...
Yeah, we use the same technology, and those title updates that come down use the same technology as well. We try to send them the smallest updates possible to get you back up and playing your games or using your console and whatever way you want to.
Watching your HD DVD movies.
Exactly.
What can we expect for the HD DVD player? I want to get back to that moving forward. I mean, what are we do? Keep evolving that or?
Yeah, I think we've hit most of the really key things that people have been hoping for. And at some point, you know, the platform will stabilize and a lot of the innovation will happen on the content side. And
right.
We don't really need to continue to change the player so much. But we will, you know, carefully track any of the issues around are there titles out there that people are having trouble playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll watch and see what happens as this networking support comes into play. And you'll see new titles like, I believe, Blood Diamond is mm-hmm. one of the ones coming out from Warner Brothers later this spring or early summer. It's really going to start to push the envelope,
mm-hmm.
and it should be really exciting to see what happens next. We don't have a committed schedule for another update coming out.
It's not like our dashboard updates, which come along twice a year.
Not exactly, no. But I think we'll obviously react to critical issues that come up and try to make sure that people continue to have a great experience with HD DVD. There's a lot of really exciting content coming out. We're doing a promotion right now around The Matrix.
Yeah.
That trilogy should be out on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and we expect that we'll be seeing a lot of people purchase that, and there's even an Xbox tie-in there where if you get the trilogy, you'll get a code for downloading the Matrix off of, or the Animatrix film.
Really? I didn't know that.
Off of Video Marketplace.
Look at this. So, getting my marketing information from there? Who knew?
So, the world of HD DVD and the world of Xbox are not all that far apart. We're trying to find the right way to bring that synergy back to the community.
What's in your HD DVD player right now?
Have
you watched Planet Earth?
I have not watched Planet Earth on the HD DVD side yet. I have seen some of it on the Discovery Channel, and it is really impressive. So I think the last movie that I borrowed from our
library
here was Smoke and Aces, if I remember correctly. Yeah, so there's quite a few that we have. And one of the benefits of being on the team that creates an HD DVD player is that we have access to a large volume of
titles.
I need
to find out how to get in touch with that, because I don't seem to have access to that library. What are you playing for games?
Games right now for me is Guitar Hero.
I think
most people have seen that title has been quite popular.
Yeah, and how.
And then we're having fun with the whole family at home. Also, I'm pretty excited about Halo 2 on Vista, which mm-hmm. is another, the first Games for Windows Live title that's out there.
Now, you're the guy whose team writes the software for the console, yet you're excited about a PC game. How do you parse that out?
We actually have both parts of that functionality in our organization. So
we have
the whole Games for Windows Live initiative is really kicking into high gear now with Shadowrun and Halo 2. And so I'm trying to make sure that I spend enough time.
You spread the love around.
Yeah, exactly. And trying out all the new experiences. And it's really quite exciting to log into your PC and see all your messages and your friends, and the same experience that people have been enjoying on the console can kind of travel with you over to your Vista-based PC. So
yeah, I blogged about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was playing Halo, and it really blew my mind. All of a sudden you're seeing your friends pop in, you're getting messages, you're sending voice messages and receiving. It's kind of wild.
It even works from work behind our firewall.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole new way to enjoy live without having to go home.
Exactly. You thought there were problems before. Now look at this.
Yeah.
It's there's just a lot of great titles coming out for, as you said, for Vista and as well as for the Xbox. I must ask you this, though. What's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag, it's quite popular because it's one letter. So I have a lot of people on my friends list. The letter is C.
So you're the letter C, because I have E on all the time. I have the letter E on all the time. So now I have.
So
I'm
C.
So you're C. I need to start going through the alphabet. I've got C and E on so far, and I know who X is.
And even though not a lot of people in the community know who I am, I think just by having a one letter gamer tag, you end up being on a lot of people's friends list.
Right.
I don't know if it's by accident. They just hit C and then they hit enter, but
and it works.
I'm getting 5-10 invites a day.
Well, so when this show goes up, you'll probably get
apologies in advance if I can't accept all those invites, but the system is.
Well, they'll send you messages. So if you have any, if you have any suggestions about the HD DVD player or the dashboards,
now you know where to go.
Send them to C.
That's right.
So anyway, Chris, I'll let you go. I appreciate you taking the time and talking to me about the HD DVD player update that's out now. The dashboard update. You released these two major updates like within the same week or so, right?
Yeah, and then that's only 2 weeks after we released the last update to the original Xbox compatibility list.
Oh, that's
so
right.
The team's been quite busy.
That's right. You work on that team too. When people want to know when can they expect the next one? Because they always have their favorite games to get on.
Yeah, I think the rhythm there has been more frequent than the console software updates.
Right.
So we're not waiting 6 months. We're probably doing those more on like a 2 to 3 month basis.
Like a quarterly basis, maybe.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly the date yet for the next update, but we do believe that there are some additional titles that we're working on that should be available, in the next 2 to 3 months.
Cool. Well, that's good feedback. So unfortunately, now everybody knows who you are and what you're doing. So thanks, Chris.
Great. Thank you.
As you can tell, Chris's team works on a lot of pieces of the console. They work on all the pieces that you see. Like I said, the dashboard, the HD DVD update, and I snuck in a little back and pat action at the end there for you. So did what I could do. He's a busy man. They're working on a lot of cool stuff. They're already starting to plan on the... Obviously, they're starting to plan the next update. Hopefully, we'll see some cool stuff on that. I'll get him on again, talk about the various updates that we have coming down the pike. So thank you, Chris. Always great to have you on. All right, let's see. We're kind of towards the third half of the show here. And what do I have? Let me pull up my notes. Oh, boy. Is it Name the Game Time already? Apparently, it is. All right, let's go. It's Name the Game Time. Here's the Name the Game clip from last week. I don't know if it was the crickets or if it was the music, but quite a few people got that one. So that was Rapella Tournament Fishing on the Xbox 360. Rapella Tournament Fishing. Well, I didn't have that many guesses on that one, but we had enough to get a winner. My winner this week is TF Meister. TF Meister, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a set of Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headsets. This is a cool set of headsets to put your stereo and Xbox Live game audio all in the same ear, complete with a cool microphone that comes off so people can hear you. So congratulations on that Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset. And now here's your chance to win. Here's the Name the Game sound clip for this week. Was that too short? Let me hit that again. Think you know what that is? Send me an email, major@xbox.com. Put Name the Game, colon, and then your guess in the subject line, in the body. Please put your gamer tag, if you have one, as well as what part of the world you're from. That would be great. Good luck. major@xbox.com is how you hit me. Speaking of that, I also get about between 1,000 and 1,500 emails a week. And, I do read them all. Sometimes I can't respond to them all just because of the volume, but I do read them all, and I'll pass them along to the right people. If you guys have any comments, complaints, or criticisms, I will... I always try to forward them on to the right people. So keep that in mind, major@xbox.com. It's time for...
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
Yeah. Thank you, Funky. Funky is one of the members of the community that did that for me, Funky Boss. Well done. All right, so this Xbox 101, if you were paying attention during the Chris interview, or the C interview, since that is his gamer tag, you will recognize this, but I think it's worth pointing out. Specifically, it is about the display setting that we added for the most recent updates regarding reference levels. The way you get there is you sign into your Xbox. You don't have to sign it alive. You can do this locally. Go over to the System Blade. Go to Console Settings. Click on Display. It's the very first one. And then there's a new option at the bottom called Reference Levels. There's three options. There's Standard, Intermediate, and Expanded. What it does is it adjusts the range of your console's reference levels to match your TV. What does that mean? Well, for those of you who need that, then you're happy about it. If you don't really notice anything, then you probably don't really care. But I know that I have a lot of AV geeks out there that probably were waiting for this, so we were happy to add that. You heard Chris talk about it briefly in the interview, and I thought that it was probably worthwhile to mention again, because it's a pretty cool thing to have in there. So there you go. That's the Xbox 101 for this week. All right, I have a theme for the Xbox 101. I kind of need one for Name the Game. Need one for this feature as well, which is my gadget section. I was showing off the phone that I was using down in Hollywood. I was traveling also with the Trio 750. The reason I travel with the Trio 750 is, and I'll swap my SIM card in and out of whatever phone I'm using in the Trio, is because I can tether that to Windows Vista and get online at like basically broadband speeds using my wireless connection. So when we were having all the challenges with the Halo 3 beta on Wednesday, when I was in the airport on my way back, I was tethered to my Trio, and I was able to sit there in the airport terminal and log in and at least check to see what was going on and stay up to speed and throw some stuff up on my Twitter, which is also fun. So if you're interested in following me on Twitter, I Twitter, you know, random stuff, what I'm doing, and it annoys some people, and some people actually really enjoy it. So if you like it, good for you. So the gadget section is something I want to talk about is I'm currently using the Comcast DVR here, and I got to tell you, it sucks. Sucks. My Comcast digital video recorder just stinks. I hate it. So I've been looking at getting a high-def TiVo. Had TiVo for a while there, a few years ago, and then I got the Comcast DVR because you could record in high-def. And so that the high-def TiVo, though, is just, wow, is it expensive. Does anybody have the high-def TiVo out there that they use with, like, Comcast? Let me know. I know you have to get the two cable cards with it. I was looking at it at one of the local electronic retailers. I think it was Blue. Was it red or blue? I think it was Blue. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe it was red. I think it was Blue. And it was. It looks great. I mean, but $700 or $600 is just crazy money. Crazy money for a high def TiVo. But I think I may have to do that. May have to do that. So if you have a high def TiVo and you're you got some good experience with it, or you just have any experience with it, let me know. And we're gonna get a cheap one. That's what I need. I need a cheap. And I'm not talking like off the truck cheap. I mean, you know, I don't mind paying for it. But wow, $600 is pretty expensive. So that's that. I put up. I spent some time outside my house yesterday putting up an external antenna for my Sirius satellite radio receiver, which has increased my reception dramatically. I'm so far north. I have to aim the antenna in such a way that there's just a lot of trees and houses in the way. So that has helped me significantly. So, let's see what else. Don't really have a lot of gadgets this week. Was looking over at Engadget and saw the oopsie that happened over there, Ryan and company, regarding the Apple, the iPhone announcement. Whoops. So it's crazy the power that the internet has nowadays, isn't it? It really is. You know, I'm trying to keep this show under an hour, and I think I've pretty much kept to that. Make it bite size. Hear from a lot of people to keep it under an hour and keep it tight and bright and light, and that's what I've done. We're now at about 51 minutes. See, I even cut out the intro music there for you, just to get right to the meat of it. More information packed in. More information per square second than pretty much any other show out there. I guess promotional consideration is provided by my friends at Centricom.net. They provide MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, and this week they went above and beyond the call and were working nonstop to get us back online as quickly as possible. Also want to thank Cashfly for their services. They're responsible for delivering my my shows on a weekly basis to you wherever you are. So thank you, Cashfly. This is Larry Herbeck's Box Live's Major Nelson saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair. Remember to send feedback or file a complaint, because yes, that does matter. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. It's after showtime. A lot of requests to get E back on the show. I will see if I can get E on the show. I was trying to get him on this week. He spent a few days off. I don't know what he was doing. He just disappeared. So E, I'll try to get E on next week if you're interested in having him on. He's always fun and cranky to get on. We got to talk about what we're playing and so on and so forth. Great party down in LA. And trust me when I tell you that there were teams working like crazy to get the Halo beta working as quickly as possible. Got some few extra days out of it, which is cool. Not cool that you had a problem or that we had problems, but cool that you got some extra days out of it. It's been interesting. It's been an interesting week. I'm bummed that the blog went down, but you know, what are you going to do? There's lots of technology involved, as you can imagine, just like I was bummed when there was some Halo problem was there. Halo 3 beta problem. What else are you guys playing? I mean, I know there's a ton of people playing the Halo 3 beta, but there's a lot of people that are playing other games as well, so love to see what else you guys are playing and so on and so forth. You know, I forgot, I got to talk about I booked my trip to come to New York, so we got to start talking about that. I know there's some guys that were in touch with me about arranging a party, I think at the Barcade, for the Pac-Man World Championship, which is coming up the beginning of June in New York City. So maybe we should do that. So let's get this arranged. Tell me where I need to be, and we'll make it happen, and I'll start promoting the heck out of it. So Barcade sounds good. But then our younger members can't get in. So I don't know what that means, but we'll have to figure that one out. But I am coming to New York, staying down there in Times Square again. Look forward to meeting some of you guys. I'm going to see if I can get some of you in at the Pac-Man World Championship as well. If you're interested in coming down, let me know. Would you want to come down? People in the tri-state area, come down to the Pac-Man World Championship. I think I can probably squirrel away a couple of tickets. I know the guys over at the PR blog have some tickets, so I'm sure I'll get some. They kind of run in a different... I don't know what they're doing over there. They do things a little differently. They're actually out on the road this week doing some visits, and I don't know... I don't really have any more details about that. I just heard about it. So wasn't invited to it. Don't really know that much about it other than what you've read, so... but back to New York. Be in New York. Let's start talking about this. I think I'm coming in Monday morning via train. I'm gonna go up and see my sister again up in New England, and then take the train in Monday morning. So maybe we can do something Monday night or even Tuesday night. That would be spectacular. I'm now rambling, and I'm officially going to press stop now. Goodbye.